You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6, by the way, I just talked about money. It's a money passage, but I'm not speaking about money today. I love speaking about money. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be. I had a man years ago, he came forward with the invitation. I've told you this so many times. And he said, Pastor, as a professional man, he goes, I come 2 weeks, I miss 2 weeks. I come 3 weeks, I miss 3 weeks. I come a week. He goes, I am, and he walked forward. I said, I tell you the reason why you're doing that. He goes, please help me. Why? I said, you don't tithe. He said, I didn't think you looked at the tithing. I said, I don't, but you apparently, you just told me. But I said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I don't have any treasure in Wall Street. So I don't know even how to read Wall Street. All those little numbers what they used to print in the papers. I would have no idea how to read that, stocks and bonds and all that. But I don't have any money there. But I tell you what, I call the business manager. I said, you can look it up online, but I call them all the time. I said, where am I at with my giving? My wife said this last week, and she tithes, I tithe, we both tithe. She said, where are we at with our giving? And I told her, and she didn't flinch, so that means that's okay. But we just try to dump everything we can back into the Lord's work. So this is a money passage, but I'm not speaking about money today. I'm speaking to you about one word. And this one word, most of you and most of us don't live by it. God commands us to live by it. But most of us do not live by this word. It affects every one of us. Look what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Verse number 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Let's read those verses together. 6 through 10. Ready? Begin. But godliness... Satisfied with your current situation. That's what contentment is. God's word says in verse number 6, godliness with, what's the word? In verse number 8, and having food and raiment, let us therewith what? Be content. Most people are discontented. But God says, I want you to be content. I want you to be satisfied with what I've given you. There's nothing wrong with having a desire for food and raiment. God says that's part of it. Are you satisfied today with the lot that God has assigned to you? Are you satisfied with your marriage? Your husband must be miserable to live with. He just must be miserable. Perhaps your wife is a miserable person. How do you live with a miserable person? But that's the lot God gave you. He's going to work it out. I don't mean, God can change the heart of your husband or your wife. God could take him home. I have, through my ministry, watched, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you and many sleep. I've watched God remove many young people or younger people are middle-aged people that you think they've got a lot. And by the way, if you've lost a mate, just because they passed away does not mean they were ungodly. I say that, Brother Mike, I think if your wife, young, 49 years of age, just so godly. Remember the day she got saved that Saturday morning? And I don't know if there was a more perfect lady than your wife. And so God took her home. And that's the lot that Mike carries today. It's a hard journey. But that's the lot God gave him. That's the task God gave him. Contentment is, I'm satisfied with my present situation. It may be your marriage you're not satisfied with. It may be your health. I said this week we will hear of people having health problems. I said you'll hear the word cancer this week. We heard the word cancer twice this week with young ladies, younger ladies in our church. One's benign, one's not. We heard the word stroke this week. We just hear these words. We're going to hear it again this week. And that's the lot God gave you to carry. Contentment is, I believe God gave me this burden. God gave me this lot. God gave me this situation. It may be your job. You hate your job. It may be your family. Your family is breaking your heart, your children. It may be, and I'm not trying to be rude to anybody, it may be your weight. I'm not happy with my weight. Well, then do something about it. I'm not happy with my weight. I'm not happy with my savings account. I'm not happy with this or that. To be satisfied with your current situation is where God wants you today. That's where God wants me today. God wants Jack Treiber satisfied with the lot he gave me. God wants you satisfied. It's an inner peace. Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than psalm. I don't know why God's given some of you bus kids the lot he gave you. I wish you could have a godly dad, a godly mother, godly family, but most of you don't come from a situation like that. But God gave you that. He's preparing your life. You're going to help so many teenagers as they get older. You're going to be a youth pastor's wife. Are you going to be a youth pastor? You watch kids. We've had so many bus kids turn out to be pastors or youth pastors, associate pastors, and you name it. God, you watch what God can do in your present situation, though you don't like it. Some of you have alcohol in your home. Some of you have drugs in your home. I think of a young boy that he's pastor of a church for about 30 some years, and he had revolving drugs and woke up every morning with a different man on the couch. When that boy lived for God, he was satisfied with his situation. He would like to change it, and he prayed for it. I want you to know today that God gave you this journey. A farmer, a Quaker were people back in, 100 years ago especially, they were well known in America. We had Quaker presidents of the United States. But a Quaker, they lived almost like Amish people and very meager, but very successful. And this Quaker had a beautiful farm, just breathtaking farm. It was a dream for anybody to have that farm. And he had a rich neighbor next door. He hung a sign out front, large sign, he had it painted. And he said, I'll give my farm to anybody who's content. If you can prove to me that you're 100% content, I'll give you my farm. His rich neighbor came over and said, I saw your sign out front. He said, I am so content. I am so content with my farm. I'm content with everything. And I want your property. He said, apparently you're not content, are you? That man wasn't content, though he convinced himself. I don't blame you for not being content. No, I won't blame you for being discontented. I don't blame you for it. How in the world do you put up with that husband? How do you put up with that wife? How do you put up with that situation? How do you put up with this or that, whatever it may be? But God says that he says, I want you to be content. Look what the Bible says here in verse number 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Turn with me to the book of Philippians. Can you turn there? Just turn back a few chapters. Philippians in chapter number 4. Philippians chapter 4. As you turn there, look what he says in Philippians 4. It's page 1260 if you have a Scofield reference Bible like mine. Philippians 4, let's look at verse number 11. Let's read one verse, I'll read some more. Let's read verse number 11 together. Ready, begin. Not that I speak in respect of want. This is learned behavior. You're just gonna have to learn to be content. I'm satisfied with my current situation. You're gonna have to learn to be satisfied. It's not just, well, I'm just content with everything. No, it just doesn't happen that way. It's a practice. It's a daily practice. And daily practicing, saying, Lord, thank you for giving me raiment today, that I have a shirt to wear, that I have a blouse to wear, that I have a dress to wear, that I have a pants to wear, that I have some clothes. Thank you, God, for the food you provided for me today. I recall, and I've told you this before, but Mrs. Treber and I, when we were married, it'd be 53 years in December. And that first year I was working for her father, he was my pastor, and he couldn't pay us much. I was making $25 a week. Then when we got married, he raised me to $60 a week. No health insurance, no car, no gasoline, nothing. But $60 a week, and we were having a hard time making it on that. And it came to a point where, first year in our marriage, we were in a missions conference, and then in that missions conference, we got up that morning and we had no food in the house. And I took her to the IGA store, dropped her off. We didn't have breakfast that day. And I didn't have breakfast. We didn't have lunch that day. We got ready for the service that night, and we didn't have dinner that night. I'll never forget it. But I believe my wife was perfectly content. I felt like a failure as a young husband. I couldn't provide a meal for my wife. But I was content that God knew about it. There was a boy in our church, his name was John Calvin. John later took his life, and I'm so sad to tell you that. John was normal, but he could hold a job, but that's about it. And John said to me on a Monday night, he said, Brother Jack, he talked like that. Brother Jack, let's go to dinner tonight. I said, well, the service has just got over. It's not dinner time. He goes, but let's go get a big old juicy steak. Well, that sounded pretty good to me right then. I said, honey, yeah, well, sign me up. We went and got a big old juicy steak. The next morning I woke up, we had no breakfast food, no lunch, no dinner. John came up to me after that service, and it's Tuesday night, said, Brother Jack, let's go get a big old juicy steak. I said, John, we did last night. He goes, it was fun, wasn't it? Let's do it again. I said, okay, sign me up, I'll go. God was training my life. We've always had food for breakfast or lunch for dinner since that day forward. God was training me. I could trust God. I could place my confidence in God. I don't know why you're having such a struggle in your marriage. And it must be very difficult, but God says, I have learned, it's learned behavior. In whatsoever state I am, to be content. Content means I have enough. I'm okay. For I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. Notwithstanding, ye did well that communicated with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated, no church shared with me financially concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even Thessalonica ye sent once again unto my necessity. Not that I desire a gift, but a desire that fruit may abound to your account. Paul said, I wasn't trying to rip you off, but I want you to share in my ministry. I want you to share in the fact that God is using you to bless my ministry. I think of Union Oil. Union Oil got behind D.L. Moody in the 1800s, and they gave him millions of dollars. Every great man of God, I think of Lee Robertson. He had a Jew he led to Christ, and that man gave him $13 million for his ministry. And God raised up people to invest and to help. Last year, Brother Oxendine, our vice president of our college, I don't even know who the person is. From Nevada, a businessman sent us $250,000. This is the first summer in the history of our church in 30 years of a Bible college that we made it all year long and paid the bills. Our Christian school's not that way. It's a ministry of this church, and we're losing money on that. But I can tell you this, that God did that. God did that. And we were content with whatever God did. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew chapter 5. As you turn to Matthew 5, I'll turn to here, and then we'll go back to where we started, and I'll be done in the next 2-3 hours. Matthew chapter 5. These are the Beatitudes. These are the blessings. God wants to put a blessing on your life. God wants you to make, the word blessing means to be happy. God wants you to be happy in life. And blessed, verse 3, blessed, happy are the poor in spirit. What is the poor in spirit? That's not talking about money. It's talking about a proper evaluation of your strengths and your weaknesses. What is your weakness? Everybody has them. What is your weakness? Admit your weakness to God and to man. What is your weakness? But what is your strength? God's given everybody. Brother Reimers was asking in Sunday school, could you get involved in, and he listed a long list of ministries in our church. Everybody ought to get involved in the ministry. Amen. Everybody ought to have something to do because you have a strength. It might be changing light bulbs. That's a strength. It might be vacuuming. That's a strength. It might be passing out Bibles. That's a strength. It might be financial. That's a strength. It might be gardening or housekeeping. That's a strength. It might be food services. But there's something you can do in the work of the ministry. And God's word says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Let's read it together. Verse 4. 5, 4. Ready? Begin. Blessed are they that... God can't comfort you unless you're mourning. Only way you can find comfort is by mourning. So many of you people in this room have experienced that. You mourn, you grieve, you're sorrowful, your heartache. But you've experienced that the touch of God can speak to your heart and deal with your heart and give you a peace in your heart that this world can never give. Look what he says in verse number 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meek are those people that have power. Your boss has power, but it's under control. If you're a CEO or you're a IFO or if you're a manager or whatever, and you have people underneath, don't rule those people mean. You rule people with a meek spirit. You have power. I can fire you. You don't talk to people that way. I had an appointment this week. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me. I had an appointment this week with the DMV. I rest my case. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, I had an appointment. I walked in there about 30 minutes early. It took me, with my appointment, 2 hours and 30 minutes. And I tell you what, I hope you work for the DMV because you got to do something about it. I was never treated with such disrespect and rudeness in my life. Get in that line over there. I said, I have an appointment, 2:20. Well, go get in that line over there. That's the way they talked. I said, okay. I never lost it, never lost it. I got in that line, I said, about how long will that take me to get through? About 30 minutes. Well, she was right, 35. And my number came up, F401. And I went and I got the same lady. And she said, I don't have your paperwork. I said, well, my assistant filled it out. I know he did. She goes, well, I don't have it. Well, I said, that's not on me. It's filled out. And she goes, go over there. I said, over where? Over there. Good night. I said, what do you want me to do? She said, go over there and fill out the paperwork. I felt like saying, lady, I do not know how to use a computer. It was an iPad. I said, maybe I, and there was about 25 questions. I got them all done, except I forgot to put my Social Security number in. I went back, I said, I stood in another line for another 30 minutes. Then I had to get back in line, and a different lady, her partner right next door, she, the first one, she made the first lady look like an angel. This woman was fallen from somewhere. This lady was the rudest thing I had ever seen. She, you don't have your Social Security. I can't process this. I said, could I write it down for you? And, no, can't do that. I mean, just short, brief answers. Is that lady in the house today? Are you? Good night, she was mean. A few minutes later, I saw her write it in. So thank God we kept going. She said, you're not going to get a bear on your license. You know, the new little deal up there, you can travel. I said, well, why? She goes, you don't have your paperwork. I said, well, what do I need? Here's the readout. I need my proof of license and my insurance, and here's what I have. But you don't have your birth certificate. I said, it doesn't say it. I have to have it. I have a license. She goes, you need a passport. I said, well, they're at home. Well, I can't process this. I said, can you process it without the bear? Yes, but you can't fly anywhere. I said, boy, I'm flying to the Philippines in a few weeks. She goes, well, you can go international. Can't go domestic. I mean, everything. There are two ladies so kind, took the picture. So I got a license come with no bear on it. You know, those ladies had power. There were about 300 people in there, government run. Anything that government runs, they mess it up every time. You couldn't run a business that way. That's not a meek spirit. That's a mean spirit. And I was so polite. I was polite to, they had to think, that guy, I tried to get that guy riled up. And I just said, Lord, keep me calm. I'm ticked off right now. I'm upset right now. I want to come on the other side of that counter and talk to that lady. But keep me calm. God says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Are you hungering after righteousness? That's what makes you content. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they for persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are we men shall revile you and persecute you. Say all manner of evil against you for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Go back to 1 Timothy 6. God wants me to be content. God wants you to be content. God sent you on Sunday morning, August the 10th, 2025, to this church, not by accident. God sent you here to learn that you must be content in your life. There's a city called Contentment, Virginia. It's about 200 years of age. There's 433 people that live in contentment. The average home is 115 years old. They have some that are older than that, have a few that are younger. They have 43 homes in the town and 5 apartment buildings. But I wonder how many people with 433 are content in Contentment, Virginia. I wonder how much the average salary for a man in Contentment, the average salary for a man is $14 an hour. That's $30,000 a year. The average salary for a woman is $12 an hour. That's $25,000 a year. I imagine most people in Contentment want a larger paycheck. Are you content with the lot that God has given you? Are you trying to negotiate with God, work it out with God, change the experience? I don't like this. I don't like what I'm going. I hate it. Then you're going to continue to be discontent. God says, be content with such things. What I give you, you be content with that. God gave you a miserable husband, a miserable wife for his glory. I'm sad for you. I'm praying for so many of you right now. I don't know how you put up with it. I don't know how you put up with that husband. I do not know how you're putting up with him. You're in church, God bless you. I don't know how you're putting up with that wife right now, but God bless you. But God says, be content with such things you have. Look here in the scripture. The result of a discontentment, and I'll be done. Verse number 9, this is a result of just, they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare and many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction. God says, this is an example of discontentment. I've got to be rich. I've got to have money. I've got to have more. I've got to have more. And you are looking for more in life. You're looking for a better situation in life. You're looking for better money. You're looking for better this, better that. You're looking for, I've got to have more. Then God says, you're going to trap yourself into a snare. Look at the second thing he says. A result of discontentment is a love of money. Verse 10. The love of money is the root of all evil. If I just had another $1,000, I'd be okay. $1,000 more a week, I'd make it. $500 more a week. $250. God, I'll settle for two. Not less. I need $250 a week. But God says that's loving money. Money's not the evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. They're saying that retired people are those that are oftentimes most discontented because they had money all through life and now they don't have that salary coming in. That's why I'm hanging on so long here. I need that salary, folks, and I'm just going to keep on preaching. But God says the love of money is the root of all evil. Then thirdly, he says this. A result of discontentment, you err from the faith. Look what he says in verse number 10, which they have erred from the faith. I'll tell you why you're going to quit church, because you love money, because you're not content with the situation that God gave you. You're discontent. And so then what you'll do, you'll blame the church, you'll blame the Christian school, you'll blame the pastor. You'll blame all these Christians, all a bunch of hypocrites. Well, come join the crowd. We need another one. Because you're discontent in life. When you're discontent, you err from the faith. Fourthly, and I'm done. When you're discontent, God says you pierce yourself through with many sorrows. But verse 11, instead, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. You still, you sweet ladies, you're sitting next to a husband that's a bear. Your husband's gone today. He's not here. You're going to have to keep fighting for your marriage and fight to do right. You're going to have to fight. God says, hang on to godliness. I don't feel like hanging on, but you're going to have to. God says, there's where there's victory. I'm going to learn contentment by godliness and righteousness and holiness and fighting the good fight. I've learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. You that are married and your wife is a miserable person. Maybe you've taken her to the doctor and he says, she's bipolar. How do you live with a bipolar person? My wife won't go to the doctor, so I won't know what she is, but she's a mess. Well, she might be a mess. That's the lot God's given to you. I think of people I've known in 54 years of preaching. I think of people I've known that have lived in awful situations. Many years ago, probably about 25, I was counseling a sweet lady in our church. She came in and she said, Pastor, I'm leaving. I'm going back to another country, my homeland. And she said, I'm not a very good Christian, I know. But I'm leaving my husband after 35 years, I think it was. She told me, and I confirmed it, it was a true story. They got married, and as politely as I can say this, and they never consummated the marriage one time in 35 years. He was a womanizer, but he never, ever physically touched her. On the honeymoon, there was nothing. I don't know why he married her. And she said, "You're the first one I'm telling this story to." 35 years later, she lived in that. I never would have guessed it. I didn't think she was even married. For 35 years, she lived that way. And she said, "My goal is to glorify God." She was a godly Christian woman. She lived in that bondage and said, "I'm probably wrong, but I'm leaving my husband. I'm going back to die in my homeland." There's a lady that learned contentment. God can give you contentment. That inner peace, I have enough. I don't need any more. I don't need that neighbor's land. I have enough. I'm satisfied with the situation that God has left me in.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.